includes the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the time. They're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children." Yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be good.
Very good evening to everyone. This is Eben. We thank God for another Saturday evening. It's always a pleasure to come your way. And I'll be with you from 9 till 9:30 p.m. And indeed, God has always kept us. We thank God for the gift of life. This evening, I'll be continuing the series I've been on, Building Our Faith. In these days, in these evil days, we find ourselves preparing for the times ahead. So it's very important we look at what's happening in the world to understand where we are and all that. You know, ignorance is such a big issue. If you are ignorant in these times, you are in a very big trouble, because not knowing what's happening makes a lot of difference. So knowledge, seeking knowledge is very paramount, you know, and then you can know how to do things, how to pray and all that. So that's one important thing when it comes to knowing these things happening in the news and all that. So I'll be talking about some of the events, some of the things happening in the news. Then we'll get into the aspect of the Bible aspects. And then last week we looked at the story of the Israelites in the wilderness, God providing for them, and I played a file of the miracle in Angola. So you can visit the issues website, is there the video link, you can watch it on the site, is there in the YouTube video. It's a short file, it's less than I think 15 or so minutes thereabout. So after the program you can watch it for those who haven't, and the program itself you can listen to it, the entire program, last week's edition. And I believe these are all important things to use to build our faith. So let's look at it from that angle. All right, so let me start with this one. World's largest fertilizer manufacturer sounds alarm, says shortages will last beyond 2022. And then, so after much of the supply of fertilizer was taken off the market thanks to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the world's biggest manufacturer of the necessary agricultural commodity is warning that supply disruptions are likely to last well into 2023, meaning food shortages and the resulting price hikes or spikes are not going away anytime soon. According to Bloomberg, Canada-based Nutrien Limited CEO Ken Says informed investors earlier this week. Okay, this report was not exactly this week, but I'm reading the report as it is. Informed the investors this week during a conference call that he anticipates boosting the production of potash following supply disruptions from Ukraine and Russia, both of which are major fertilizer producers. He said that he believes disruptions could last well beyond 2022. He went on to say that the conflict with the addition of Western economic sanctions on Russia and Belarus, a Russian ally, has cut the amount of available fertilizer on world markets, and as such, is liable to reshape nutrients trade. Which will only add to further supply uncertainties. Could there be a change in global trade patterns as a result? We think that's a possibility, Sides told investors. It's looking it's looking a lot more like fertilizer shortages are going to be a multi-year phenomenon as already. So in other words, it's going beyond 1 year, multi-year phenomenon as already. Farmers are reducing usage of the product, which is likely to lead to smaller crop yields come harvest time. And of course, the repercussions are massive. Lower yields will only make the existing food shortages worse. And make no mistake, if the US and the West have somewhat wasteful food habits, there is not a major global surplus of food. Any disruptions in yields will lead to a spike in shortages in the poorest countries where food insecurity is already high. There are alarming signs commercial farmers in top growing areas in the world are decreasing the use of essential nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And then goes on. So it's one of the reports that we have. Then alleged Israeli strike disables Damascus International Airport. Two satellite firms have published images showing significant damage to runways in Damascus International Airport after alleged Israeli strikes targeted the site on Thursday. ImageSat International and Maxa Technologies published them images on Friday night, hours after Syria's Ministry of Transport announced that the airport outside the Syrian capital was suspending flights due to the technical disruptions. Syria's state media Sana'a claimed that Israel has carried out strikes against targets south of Damascus around 4:20 a.m. on Friday, wounding one person and causing material damage. Satellite images showed three impact craters on both the military and civilian runways, rendering them inoperable, and disabled the entire airport until repair. We are compelled to reiterate that the ongoing Israeli shelling of the territory of the Syrian Arab Republic in the violation of basic norms of international law is absolutely unacceptable. We strongly condemn Israel's provocative attack on the most important object of the Syrian civilian infrastructure, according to Zakharova. You know, and this is about the third strike in Syria this week by Israel. This is quite worrying. You know, wars, rumors of wars, tension here, tension there. You know, that's what is. But these are the times. So North Korea is also, you know, doing his thing. This year he's just been testing missiles all over. And so South Korea and U.S. launched 8 missiles in response to North Korea's launches. South Korea and the United States fired 8 surface-to-surface missiles early on Monday off South Korea's east coast in response to North Korea's short-range ballistic missile launches on Sunday. The South Yonhap news agency reported on Monday. The action is a demonstration of the capability and readiness to carry out precision strike against the source of North Korea's missile launches or the command and support centers. Yonhap cited the South Korean military saying, "The militaries of South Korea and the United States fired 8 surface-to-surface missiles for about 10 minutes starting 4:45 a.m. on Monday in response to the 8 missiles fired by the North on Sunday," it said. North Korea's short-range ballistic missiles fired towards the sea off its east coast on Sunday were likely its largest single test and came a day after South Korea and the United States ended joint military drills. Last month, the combined forces of South Korea and the United States fired missiles in response to North Korea's launch of ballistic missiles, which the two allies say are violations of UN Security Council resolutions. South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol, who took office last month, has vowed to take a tougher line against the North and agreed with the U.S. President Joe Biden at a May summit in Seoul to upgrade military joint military drills and their combined deterrence posture. So, the tension there too continues. Then we have Russia and China open cross-border bridge as ties deepen. So whilst the West is ostracizing Russia and sanctions and all, their relationship with China is even getting stronger and stronger. And that is a big worry to the West, because a strong China and Russia alliance is a big deal. Yeah, two powerful forces. So Russia and China opened a new cross-border bridge in the Far East on Friday, which they hope will further boost trade as Moscow reels from sweeping Western sanctions imposed over its actions in Ukraine. The bridge linking the Russian city of Blagoveshchensk to the Chinese city of Heya across the Amur River, known in China as Heilongjiang, is just one long, it's just over 1 kilometer long and cost 19 billion rubles. That's $342 million, according to the RIA agency. Amid a firework display, freight trucks from both ends crossed the two-lane bridge that was festooned with flags in the colors of both countries. The Russian authorities said the bridge would bring Moscow and Beijing closer together by boosting trade after they announced a no-limits partnership in February, shortly before the President Putin sent his forces into Ukraine. In today's divided world, the bridge between Russia and China carries a specific symbolic meaning, said Yuri Trunev, the Kremlin representative in the Russian Far East. Then the Ukrainian President Zelensky says millions could starve due to Russia blocking Ukraine ports. So millions of people across the globe could starve to death as a result of the Russian blockade of Ukraine Black Sea ports, Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky said during the televised address at Time 100 Gala 2022 in New York on Wednesday. Shipments of essential goods from Ukraine's Black Sea ports, such as wheat and seed oil, of which Ukraine is a major global supplier, have been stopped since the onset of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on February 24th. Over 200 million tons of grain are stuck in the silos across the Ukraine and cannot be exported amid the war. Quote, we cannot export our wheat, corn, seed oil, and other goods which used to play a stabilizing role in the global market, unquote, as a result of Russia's blockade of Ukraine's Black Sea port, Zelensky stated. Ukraine will only be able to export a maximum of 2 million tons of grains a month, just one-third of its usual 6 million tons of exports. If Russia refuses to lift its blockade of the country's Black Sea ports, Taras Vyskovsky, Ukraine's first deputy minister of agrarian policy and food, said on Tuesday, quote, it says, meaning, unfortunately, that a real food crisis may occur in dozens of countries. Millions of people may starve if the blockade continues, unquote, Zelensky warned. Ukraine is the world's fourth largest grain exporter, a crucial commodity that reached record high prices in March and remains scarce in certain regions, as some nations have implemented export bans. Then the next one, Russia says the West risks direct military clash over cyber attacks. Interesting, when the hacker gets hacked. Russia warned the West on Thursday that cyber attacks against its infrastructure risk leading to direct military confrontation, and that attempts to challenge Moscow in the cyber sphere would be met with targeted countermeasures. The warning comes after Russia's housing ministry website appeared to be hacked over the weekend, with an internet search for the site leading to "Glory to Ukraine" signed in Ukrainian. In a statement, the foreign ministry said that Russia's critical infrastructure and state institutions were being hit by cyber attacks and pointed to figures in the United States and Ukraine as being responsible. A statement issued by the ministry's head of international information security said Washington was deliberately lowering the threshold for the combat use of IT. the mobilization of the information space by the West and attempts to turn it into an arena of interstate confrontation have greatly increased the threat of a direct military clash with unpredictable consequences, it said. I see. So nowadays, when they are hacked, they know how painful it is. One of the leading hacking countries in the world is Russia. Interesting. This world. Okay, so enough of the world war and rumors of wars. Let's get into some ministry issue. And this one, the church is in serious. So as for this church in the U.S., Presbyterian Church, I think they should just change the name to Church of Satan. That would be fit for purpose. So PCUSA Ministry launches Queering the Bible, Queering the Bible, unquote, project aimed at creating new theologies. So a ministry tied to the Presbyterian Church USA is Queering the Bible to celebrate LGBT Pride this summer. You know, June is their Pride Month, and let me finish this first. So the PCUSA project, Unbound, that's the project Unbound, then an interactive journal of Christian social justice, is kicking off the new series, Queering the Bible, with 16-part study of the Gospel of Mark. That will run through July 22nd. Then it says, Reverend Lee Cato, the project's editor, told Presbyterian News Service that the study looks at the gospel as a way of, quote, learning about how we experience God as queer folk and how we experience scripture as queer people, unquote. Then, quote again, says Mark, that's the book of Mark. Mark has some very interesting stories that speak about inclusion and what that means. That has stories where Jesus is encountering people who have different experiences, marginalized folk. So I just think it speaks to the queer experience very, very much right now, Kato said. Then according to Kato, the inspiration for Queering the Bible came from a desire to go beyond rainbow flags and T-shirts during the Pride LGBT Pride Month or ritual and challenge PCUSA to go deeper in our welcoming of queer folk. He said the Gospel of Mark was a direct introduction to the series because of its length. The Queering Mark Chapter 1 study by Reverend Benjamin Perry, for instance, compares John the Baptist's experience to those of LGBT individuals. Can you imagine that? The Queering, that's quote unquote queering, Mark Chapter 1 study by Reverend Benjamin Perry, for instance, compares John the Baptist's experience to those of LGBT individuals. I mean, how can any man of God say this? Quote, LGBTQIA plus people have long lived like John, holding in our voices and bodies a love that transcends the ways culture tries to confine it, crying out in the wilderness. So that's what makes them the same, crying out in the wilderness about what will not only free us, but what will liberate all people, unquote, Perry writes. In the conversation with Presbyterian News Service, Kato suggested a traditional biblical hermeneutics have contributed to Mark and other texts being interpreted in very unhealthy ways, specifically because of the theological background or groundwork of the straight white men. I see. Oftentimes, when we are looking at scripture, historically, it's been a lot of straight white men who have interpreted scripture and then creating theologies, he said. So when we are talking about queering the Bible, we really are wanting to have the voice of queer folk, trans folk, who read the Bible, look at the scripture, and interpret that scripture through that lens. He added that querying the Bible focuses on going against all the heteronormative ways that scripture has been interpreted and creating some new theologies that we can use. PC USA did not respond to a request for comment by the Christian Post. I mean, this is one of the absurdities of this whole LGBT thing. I mean, nobody stops you from doing what you want to do in your privacy. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do. But don't come and take the Bible and say you want to retranslate it into ways that will fit your lifestyle. Then, I mean, at best, go and write your own Bible from scratch. You can call it whatever names you want. The books can be whatever you want. But don't come and take my Genesis to Revelation and then come and say that it wasn't translated well because it's biased towards the normal heterosexual lifestyle that we know, man and woman. So you have to retranslate it to meet your new lifestyles, newfound lifestyles. I mean, this is what they are pushing. And, you know, in Ghana this week, you know, they started mounting billboards in Accra. And, I mean, I really, really want to congratulate this minister, MP, Sam George, for his vocal activity on radio and pushing seriously against it. So he threatened the police for not removing it. And immediately, that evening it was removed. There was one at the, towards the Tema interchange thereabout. And, you know, it's they are becoming bold. So, you know, they were advocating for the Pride Month in Ghana as well, behind the scenes and all these things. I heard one interview of one of their people, and I mean, you should hear the these people. So at least their billboards were taken down. But you see, this is how this whole thing is. They are just taking and they're just waiting to take advantage of any opportunity that they get. And now the bill too is being stalled in parliament, according to what the minority was saying. Like, you know, the chairman of the committee is trying to play hide and seek, trying to delay, playing delay tactics, you know, to delay the passage of the bill. And it's, I mean, I knew that's what they would do. I mean, the government doesn't want to get this bill passed. That one is obvious. So they will play all the tactics that they would want to do to delay it, you know. You know, this issue is something which is out there in the West. Yes, they are open and all, but Ghana too is here in the underground ways and all that. They are doing their things, but you know, they're doing their things in privacy and all that is up to them. But when it's embraced in the church, and a standard known church like, you know, the Presby USA goes this far by their pronouncements and endorsements and all, then it tells you the glory has departed indeed. Okay, so we have last week Sunday in the Nigeria, you know, I believe most of you heard the news, 50 killed in vile and satanic attack at Nigerian church on Pentecost Sunday. And it was very gruesome activity. And Ondo State, in the St. Francis Catholic Church in Owo, in Ondo State. And, you know, killing 50 people, shooting them, and all. This issue, this week, I was in a prayer meeting, and this an online prayer meeting, and we were talking about this, and I was saying, you know, this whole agenda is to push fear in the body of Christ. So, fear. You know, can you imagine the feeling in this Ondo State tomorrow, Sunday morning? The thoughts that will be running through the minds of people, to go to church or not to go, to go or not to go. What if tomorrow is my church that they will come? What if? You know, the thoughts of fear will be so strong in this state and beyond. You know, because, so that's the whole essence, fear, pushing fear. And I believe in Ghana, with the warnings that we are getting from our national security, we really have to start praying against this seriously. I believe the church, the least we can do is prayer. Because if it comes to real security as it stands, how many churches can afford to have the police, guarding, church service, and how many churches can really have that luxury to have policemen being at the entrance of their church service throughout? I mean, real security should be for God. I mean, it's only God we can trust and depend on when it comes to such things. And I believe with prayer, there's a lot we can do through prayer to really push back against these activities, the fear that it brings into a system. Because, you know, just imagine if one church is attacked, the fear that runs through the system, it will affect church attendance seriously. I mean, it's like, and when some of these things happen, it takes a long time to overcome, you know, because of the psychological trauma and all that. So it's something which we really have to take up seriously in prayer, to really resist these things in prayer, attacks that the enemy is plotting and planning. Ultimately, it's the church that is the target. It's the church that is the target, striking fear in the body of Christ. And then it affects the body of Christ, it brings fear, all sorts of things. So we really have to stand up in prayer regarding these things. So let me finish off with Uganda, where 32-year-old youth pastor in Uganda has reportedly died due to injuries he sustained during an attack on his church by alleged Muslim extremists carrying swords, axes, and sticks, according to a non-profit persecution monitoring organization. Sources told Morning Star News that Emmanuel Mugabe from the Mukomeru area in Kibuga district near the national capital city of Kampala was beaten during a May 20 attack and succumbed to a blood clot about a week later. Bishop Seruga John Asaf of Mukomeru Miracle Center Church said Mugabe lost consciousness during the attack, which occurred around 5 p.m. And then Asaf claimed that the attack occurred after the church had distributed Bibles and organized an evangelistic outreach. The mob that killed the pastor was allegedly led by Sheikh Musa Luanga, a resident of the village where the victim had distributed the Bibles. During the attack, the extremists shouted the slogan, you know, their normal slogan, and then they pulled down the building while shouting, and thereafter set it on fire with petrol and rubber on the timber, burning iron sheets, chairs, Bibles, and other church property. Asaf was quoted as saying, Asaf said he had called the police after the building was set on fire. I mean, this is the reality of what's happening, the attack on Christianity in various countries, you know. And indeed, these persecution reports keep coming. Various countries that used not to experience these things are beginning to feature on the persecution reports. And, well, you know, you can just pray for the grace and the strength for the times ahead. Okay, so let me take a break, play this song by Alvin Slaughter, and I'll be back.
When we have a work to do and the task ahead seems bigger than you, that's when he steps in. When you know in your heart that God's command takes more than can be done by man, that's when he steps in. He sees you at the point of your need. He sees you at the point of crossing your Red Sea. In the moment you call, when you give him your all, he steps in. He steps in and he'll say, you have in your head. have is oil in a jar. That's a reflection of where you are. That's where he steps in. Oh yes. A little boy's lunch of fish and bread is all you have for the need ahead. That's when he steps in. Let him take it and bless it and break it and give it. He'll multiply it in the moment you live it, and in the moment you call. When you give it your all, he steps in.
Beautiful song by Alvin Slaughter. That's when God steps in. That's when, you know, and you know, in times like these are the songs that, you know, that gives you some encouragement, some hope in the word of God. And it says, when we have work to do and the task ahead seems bigger than you, that's when he steps in. When you know in your heart that God's command takes more than can be done by man, that's when he steps in. He seems to you at the point of your need. He sees you at the point of your need. He sees you at the point of crossing your Red Sea. In a moment you call, when you've given your all, he steps in. He steps in and he will say, what's that you have in your hand? I can use it. And if you are willing to lose it, take the little you have and make it grand. I'm El Shaddai, and now more than supply your need. When all you have is oil in a jar, that's a reflection of where you are. That's when he steps in. A little boy's lunch of fish and bread is all you have for the need ahead. That's when he steps in. Let him take it and bless it and break it and give it. He will multiply it at the moment you leave it. And in the moment you call, when you've given your all, he steps in. He steps in and you say, that's what that you have in your hand. I can use it. If you are willing to lose it, take the little you have and make it grand. I'm El Shaddai, and I'll more than supply your need.
Ooh, when the task ahead seems bigger than you, that's when he steps in. When you know in your heart that God's command takes more than can be done by man, that's when he steps in. He sees you at the point of your need. He sees you at the point of crossing your Red Sea. In the moment you call, when you give in your all, he steps in. He steps in and he reflection of where you are, that's when he steps in. Oh yes, a little boy's lunch of fish and bread is all you have for the need ahead. That's when he steps in. Let him take it and bless it. In the moment you live it, and in the moment you call, when you give in your all, he steps in. He steps in and he'll say, what's that you have in your hand? I can use it.
It summarizes some of the miracles in the Bible regarding God's provision. And the essence of this series on the Building Our Faith series for the times ahead is very essential, because, you know, if you look at the world terrain now, economically, scientifically, and prophetically, the warnings are all clear, all points in the same direction. The prophets, the correct true prophets that the Lord has given advance warnings, and all the things they've said, and some are still saying, what the Greek scientists and agronomists and all are saying, what the economists are saying, it points to the same direction. So it's just obvious that the least we can do is to prepare spiritually, emotionally, whatever, psychologically and all. But as a believer, our faith is the fundamental ground that we need to prepare on. You know, the faith that we have in God is what is going to take us in the times and keep us in the times ahead. Oh yeah, I mean, we can't look up to the government. We can't look up to people. Human beings can disappoint, they can fail. They themselves may need help at a point. So it's only God who can help and who can provide. So that's the reason why we are doing these talks, discussions and all. But the essence and the reason why it's important is you just don't build your faith to a very high level overnight. You sleep, wake up in the morning, then your faith is top high. You know, you have to build it up. You know, build it based on the word of God as you pray, you know, believing in God. It's a process. So, since it's a process, the earlier you start, the better. And that's why when things seem to be quote and unquote normal, I mean, still, I know things are not normal though, but relative to the times ahead and what is coming, we are still in normal times. Yes, because the real abnormal times will be moving towards the second half of the year and then to 2023, something else. And I mean, you see, these things is not to scare you, but you see, it's better we know the truth so that we are emotionally, spiritually, and everything prepared. Somebody who knows what is ahead, when the time comes, I mean, his posture and how his demeanor and how he goes through that season is different from the one who had no idea something was coming. That's why I believe listeners of Issues of Life, to some extent, should be better prepared for these days and the times ahead, because you've been listening to these things. So you are psyched up in knowing that these things are coming. And so it's not like out of the blue something comes and it's like, wow, where from this, where from that. But let's get into the Bible and do a few talks there. So I'm reading 1 Kings 17. You can take your Bible along. You can write some notes if need be. I mean, but it's important to take some notes if necessary. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand," I like that phrase, "before whom I stand, there shall be no dew, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." According to my word. You know, before whom I stand, we are looking at a man who stood before God. I mean, he had a relationship with God. He had a relationship with God. So that is a critical thing. Before whom I stand. He had a good standing relationship with God. And then goes on verse 2, says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan." Hide thyself. And the word of the Lord came. So, you know, hearing the word, knowing the word of God, being sensitive to God's voice is very important in these times, because you should be able to know what God is saying and what God wants you to do, and all that, where to go, what to do, what not to do, how to do things. All these instructions are very, very critical in these times. So it's very important, you know, and that's exactly what we see Elijah's relationship with God. And then the verse 4, And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded ravens to feed thee there. This is very interesting. God had, has already prepared his plan to feed, Elijah. Same applies to us. If we are really living by his, having a good relationship with him and all that, he has already prepared ahead of time for us. So it's like, go there, go here, do this, do that. God himself had already planned ahead. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And we see clear obedience here. He was obedient about, said, get thee hence, turn eastward. Clear obedience about where to go, what to do, following God's instructions. So, that's a very important lesson we should learn, that we are at a point where obedience is not something that we can gamble with. We have to be obedient to God's instructions, whatever way it is that comes to us. We know this is God telling us we should do this, 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 that. We shouldn't negotiate about it. It's about God's voice. If we believe it's God, we should be obedient to what he wants us to do. So it's very important. So then we have the verse 6. And that's one interesting aspect of this whole thing. So he went, that's the verse 5. He went and then dwelt in by the brook. Now the 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh, or whether bread and meat, you can call it that way. So bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank off the brook. An amazing, this is a clear miracle. Wake up in the morning and then you see birds coming, like food, whether packaged, whatever, in their mouth. They bring it to you, you receive it, they drop it, you pick it, they go. And then you have your water, you are sitting by a river anyway, in the evening too, they bring you. So breakfast and supper, they're short. Clearly a miracle of God. God provided for him. And it came to pass after a while that when the brook dried up, because there had not been no rain in the land, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, we see a step-by-step following of instructions. Do this, you do it. Next, do that, you do it. You see, when we are walking with the Lord, we have a relationship with the Lord. It's about how we relate with him and how we obey his instructions. So, updated information from Lord, from the Lord. Move, you move. Okay, now move. Then you move again. Now move again. So, this is a clear relationship issue with the Lord. So, verse 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. We see another advanced plan of God ahead of time. The first one we saw, he had commanded the ravens. He commanded the ravens. He had prepared the way. This one, the first stage, you get food coming every day from the beds. Now, the situation escalates, relocates to this town. I've prepared someone there who is also going to sustain you. You see, these are the things we should understand as we get into, as the world system goes downwards in the economic issues and the food issues and all that. Our ultimate aim now is to strive to be in good standing with the Lord, have a good relationship with him, have a good link of communication with God, where God can communicate to us, God can direct us. So it's about we being at the right position with God. as to how things will be and all that. There's a limit to which we can do things to save the situation and all. There's a limit. There's a limit to how far you can go in terms of how you can store things, you can do this, there's a limit. See, so definitely we'll get to a point where we are going to need God. So it's important to understand, as I said a few weeks ago, it's time we read the Bible with a different type of lens, not just reading it as Bible story, history, it happened some time back, that's all. But believing what we are reading. You know, this week I had an interesting discussion with a pastor friend in Accra. And the angle really gave me some lessons to think about seriously. Let's look at one example, for instance. Let's look at Joshua. The sun stood still. Let's look at the walls of Jericho falling. You are looking at things which, until that time that it happened in Joshua's time, or he witnessed these things, there is no record of it, of him to learn from. He had not seen it before. There are most of the miracles Elijah, for instance, as I'm talking about now, this Elijah we are reading, until this ravens provided this thing. He had not seen ravens providing food to him before. Until it happened, he had never seen it before happening. So these people who we have as heroes of faith written in the Word of God for us, there's one critical lesson we should see here. They, at the time when it was happening in their lives, they had no reference to learn from. So there was no Bible. At the time Elijah was there was no Bible for him to learn from, of miracles that God has done, or ravens providing. There's no reference that it has happened to someone for him to say, oh, okay, God provided, ravens provided food. So, okay, let me pray and believe that God can also do it for me. He was the first to experience it. But we are fortunate to have that reference to build our faith on, that if God did it for him, then he can do it for us. So he tells us that there's no limit as to the formula that God did ABC, so it should be ABC. God can start a new and completely new miracle altogether, which there's no reference before. Just as we have the heroes of faith experiencing some of these things, being the first to experience it, you and I can also experience some things as the first. You see, so it's time we see God and his word as a living thing, not just some dead history, gone, old story type of thing. No. Let's see it as a dynamic testimony of God's activities, God's action, God's miracle, God's word. It's a living word. Let's see it from it. So let's approach to the word of God should change, especially when it comes to the miracles of God and all. It's time we see it from a different perspective, not just as history, but as a practicable something that we can also experience in our lives. If God is a God of providing, or Jehovah provider, being a provider, being this, being that, it's time we really believe it into our lives, that we are applying it in our lives. You see, so that understanding that God is not limited to only what he did in the book of, or in the Bible and the Old Testament or the New Testament, but it extends to our lives today. You and I can be an extension of the works of God that we read in the Bible. So let's proceed. Verse 9. So yes, I've commanded a widow there to sustain thee. A widow to sustain thee. It's it's interesting. A widow. So it's like logically you think that, oh, it's like you expect a rich person overflowing with milk and honey in the house all over. But look at who God chose to sustain his prophets. You see, so as to the limitations and the activities of God, I mean, there's nothing like, oh, God did this and that, those times. But me, it can't happen for me. It's something which we have to change our mindset towards. So, God commanded this widow. God says he has commanded. It doesn't matter what is ahead of us. God knows how to sustain his own. If you don't learn anything this evening, keep this. It doesn't matter what is ahead of us. God knows how to sustain his own. God has gone ahead of us with his plan of sustainability. So, just as we see God saying that, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Let's believe that it's the same measure of sustainability that God, we can also experience from God if we obey and walk in his ways and have a good relationship and standing just as Elijah had. You know, it's interesting that we sometimes see these people, these men of God, in a different light, in the sense like, oh, they were superhumans and all that. But it's a different perspective. Let's look at it that, yes, they did great things. And I like the way James 5:17 puts it. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So this verse in James gives us the understanding that he was a human being just as we are. So if God was able to do things for him based on the relationship he and God had, can't we also position ourselves in that same line? And that's the encouragement, that's the whole essence of these things, that this series that I'm on. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when, so you see, obedience. Let's say he told God, no, I'm enjoying the barbecue or whatever that the birds are bringing. I'm enjoying it. So change of menu. No, I like it. So I won't go. I'll still be here. You starve. I mean, that one there. You see, instructions are instructions. Obedience is important. So it's not about my will, but it's about God's will. So he arose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the woman, the widow woman, was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. We may eat it and die. I mean, it shows a very serious situation at that point in time. Like, there's no more hope. I mean, all hope was gone. So just something to eat, and then you run out of your energy and then you die. That's how serious the situation was. So as she was going, okay, then 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after, make for thee and thy for thy son. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste. In other words, it will not finish, it will not run out. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You know, it will sound like these are, yes, it's a supernatural miracle, but is it possible in our time? Just before I came on there, I was having a chat with a bishop friend in Accra, and so we were talking, and he cited a case of a reverend in Accra who was sharing a testimony of his life where in the 1983, those days, I mean, fuel shortages and all scarcity, those times, that he was with some people and they ran out of fuel complete. The car stopped, no movement, the car had stopped. And so they were just there standing outside the car, I mean, just no fuel and no filling station around anywhere where they are. So he went to sit in the car, put his head on the wheel, prayed, and then sparked the car. And the car responded. Then the people around, are you coming with me or not? I mean, they got in and then speaking in tongues, moved till they got to wherever, I mean, the long distance they went and got to a place. They asked, is there fuel? As soon as they said yes, the car went off. This is a typical case we are talking about here. You have food until the rain comes. So when the rain comes, the provision will stop. The miracle will stop. But see, the issue is to sustain you, sustenance. So I'm going to fill in the gap until things get normal. And that's exactly like this pastor's case where you don't have well. Now you pray, God gives you a spiritual, miraculous movement, fails it spiritually, whichever way it is. You move till the filling station, now you can get fuel. Now the car stops. Now you can buy the fuel and now continue. You see, God does things on the need basis, on the need to use basis. Like, so you need this thing at this time. And if he agrees that you need it at this time, and he knows you need it at this time, and you have the right relationship with him, then he steps in. That's why I like the song I played. You know, that's when God steps in. You see, God knows when to step into a situation. There are times he doesn't step into our situations because that is not the time for him to step in. One, two, sometimes because we don't even have a relationship with him. You see, so we have to understand the dynamics. There are times God doesn't step into some situations because there is no relationship. So why should he step in? There's no relationship. I mean, so there's nothing to, connect. But when we are in right standing with him and he knows our need, then at the right time, that's when he steps in. So this is a typical case we are looking at in Elijah's situation. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel, at this point, this is a prophecy. He's prophesying as the Spirit is leading. He's saying it's prophesying. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. It's a complete miracle. But that is how God is. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You know, it's such an interesting, you know, this is where I end this particular discussion. I mean, this reading, And the next, I mean, subsequently, you know, the son died and all that. But, you know, let me just skip. It's not part over. Like, it's quite interesting. It intrigues me because after the son died and Elijah prayed and the son got resurrected or came back and all that, a statement that the woman said really makes me amazed. The last verse, 24. And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true." So the food miracle that they ate for many days and all that, doesn't mean this woman said they didn't believe that Elijah was a man of God. But the resurrection is more of a bigger miracle maybe to her. No, but to say that now you know, is it that at first we didn't know, we didn't believe? That's interesting. I mean, the things we say sometimes, you know. But in looking at this whole thing, we've looked at the God that steps in at the right time and knows what to do and when to do things. You see, so in building our faith, we have to know God, how he does his things. We have to believe that he is still able to do things. So when you read 1 Kings 17, we shouldn't read it in the light of an Old Testament story in the life of Elijah, who has died and who eventually went to heaven directly. But it's like old, so it's old case. It's not something that is applicable in 2022. It is very much applicable. There are many people who have had miracles like that. I mean, I gave you this car oil fuel issue. There are people who have experienced things which clearly you can know that it's only God. It's only God who provided it. It's only God. You see, so when we understand God from that angle, it helps our faith to grow in him. It helps our faith to grow in believing in him, in believing his capabilities, in believing in what he can do, in believing and knowing that we also have a role to play. In all this, there's one clear thing. It was hinged on the relationship between Elijah and God. There was a relationship between Elijah and God. Do you think an ordinary person who doesn't believe in God, somebody who blasphemes God and all, could experience what this happened? I mean, this miracle that happened, ravens feeding him morning, evening, morning, evening, morning, evening. We don't have the timeline as to how long that one happened. And then when now the river, the brook dries out, move, go here and experience another miracle. Clearly, it happened. All these things revolves around someone who was in right standing with God. So it's one challenge that we have to push ourselves to, is to ensure that in building our faith, it should be done around building a relationship with God. Because you cannot have a strong faith outside an unstable relationship with God. On what basis then is that faith? You see, because the faith must be based on the word of God, and the faith is in God. So if we don't have a good standing and a good relationship with God, then that faith is virtually, you can call it faith. Faith on what? Faith based on what? See, so let's strive to rekindle our relationship with God, knowing him more, being in right standing with him. That is the critical thing. Being in right standing. Now, I like the way the first verse puts it, where it says, "Before whom I stand." Before whom I stand. That means, you see, you have a standing, a good relationship that you can say, "I stand before God. Unashamedly, I stand before God." You see, so let's push ourselves to that limit, to that point where we have a good relationship with God. Standing before God is so important. Having a good relationship is so important because of the times we are in, or because the times we are in is going to demand that we be, those who have a good relationship in God are the ones who can benefit fully from His provisions. Oh yeah. They are the ones who can benefit fully from His provisions. And it's important. See, there's one aspect of this whole thing is God does things based on His timings and based on the case. So it's more of a case-by-case basis. And the intensity of a situation and all these factors come in as to how God does His things. So there will be times where it may seem like everything is fine, so God, I mean, there's nothing for God to provide, or I mean all that, because you have it already. So you see God, but it doesn't mean you are with God, everything is fine, God is provide, I mean you have it, so there's nothing to worry about. But then when that same person is getting into need and in lack, that same person can then call on God, and God will know. God knows that now you don't have, so I have to step in. That's when He steps in. You see, but between the time of need, between the times of having and the time of need, is a period where our relationship is important, so that we build a relationship. Now that things are normalized a bit, quote and unquote normalized, I'm using it advisedly. Now is the time to build a relationship. Now is the time to build a relationship. Build a relationship towards the real time where we are going to need God in critical times ahead. And you see, it's so important that the Word of God should be the basis upon which we are building our faith. And when we build our faith, see, so last week also I was saying that let's start reading every day. Read one miracle of God. Let's build our faith. The more you read these things, the more you think about it. It's like God was able to do this. God was able to do this. God can do this. God. The Word of God should be our foundation. The Word of God should be our foundation. That's why I said that we even have a greater opportunity to experience God at another level, because most of these people who experience God in various ways experience Him at a point when they were the first to experience Him doing those things. They had no reference of God doing such things before. I mean, earlier or prior to those times, they experienced Him. But they believed God would do something. And indeed, He did. He proved Himself right. So if we have the opportunity of having this recorded for us, to know that God was able to do it for some people, then it means we have the great opportunity to know that then, if He did it for them, He can do it for us. So He had made it, He's made it easier for us to believe in Him, unlike even those who had to believe in Him with nothing at all on the plate. They had no reference. No reference. But they believe God will do it. But we have the reference to know that He did it. So He is capable. So our faith should even be stronger, because now there is a track record we can fall on, a case study we can fall on and rely on and build our faith upon, and know that God did it. Is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He did it for them, He can do it for us. If He did it for Him, He can do it for you. You know, let's get deeper into the Word of God. Let's get deeper into the Word of God. The more we think about these things, the Word of God, we meditate on it and all, the better we'll become as our faith builds, or we build our faith on the Word. It's so important, it's so critical. And I believe these are the times we are in. Let's sharpen ourselves in the Word. more and more. You know, I mean, I just love that song. Let me just play it one more time. I'll be back.
When we have a work to do, and the task ahead seems bigger than you, that's when he steps in. When you know in your heart that God's command takes more than can be done by man, that's when he steps in. He sees you at the point of your need. He sees you at the point of crossing your Red Sea. In the moment you call, when you give him your all, he steps in. He steps in and he'll say, reflection of where you are, that's when he steps in. Oh yes, a little boy's lunch of fish and bread is all you have for the need ahead. That's when he steps in. Let him take it and bless it. In the moment you live it, and in the moment you call, when you give him your all, he steps in. He steps in and he'll say, what's that you have in your hand? I can use it.
Beautiful song by Alvin Slaughter. That's when he steps in, you know. And I believe it's very important we base our faith in the Word. That's the only way we can have a strong faith. That's the only way we can build it. And as I said earlier, it's a process, you know. You build it gradually. You are building it. You know, you read the word, you meditate on it, you pray, you listen to, you know, things that build you up, songs, messages. It's a process of building up. It's like someone who goes to the gym, you know, pumping, weight lifting, doing this, treadmill, you know, or it's a process, building the faith to the point where by the time when you really need the faith, you are saturated to the point where you know that, you know, you can depend on God. You can trust in God. You can call on God and you know that He will hear you. Because in building your faith, you are also living right. You are, you know, establishing yourself right in the Word, your relationship, and all that. You are living right, you are living holy, and all, doing what is right, and all. You know, we cannot be living carelessly in these times and days. No. I mean, the days where we play church, play the world, you know, mix, anything goes, we are here today, here tomorrow, that type of, no. We are in the season, or we reach the point where you have to declare your position. Either you are on God's side or forget it. Either you are going all out as a Christian or forget it. We cannot be here and there. No. I mean, for those who choose to still be in that lukewarm status of double role, being in the world, being in the church, they cannot benefit from God when the need arises, the heat of things. Some will say God has disappointed them, but it's not God. God didn't disappoint them, but they didn't position themselves in the way God will respond. You see, that's why, I started with looking at Elijah. So the relationship, the God in whom I stand, he had a relationship, a good relationship. When God says go, he goes. When he sits here, he sits here. I mean, there's a relationship, there's obedience, there's hearing his voice, knowing him, and all. That's a standing relationship. So we cannot just live worldly, have no relationship with God. We just pray once in a blue moon, then read a Bible once in a pink moon, if there's any. Then, you know, spend time with God once in some yellow moon. It's like a rare relationship. Nothing really, just once in a while. Then we feel like, oh, let me be holy a little. Then you feel like... No, we cannot live that kind of lifestyle and attract God's goodness and his provision in the time of need. No, it doesn't work that way. We should rather be in a position where we are living right, we are doing things right, we are in right standing with him. That is when we can attract him, his help, his direction, his provision and his protection, all the things we can talk about. So the whole thing depends on us. We are the ones who have to work on ourselves. And that's why we are, you know, looking at these things, this series that we are talking about, building our faith series. I believe you've been blessed this evening. The file will be uploaded to spiritissues.info. Unfortunately, there was a problem with the internet connection and the streaming wasn't going through, so there was no online listenership. But they'll be able to listen after it's uploaded tonight. I'll do it as soon as I get home so that those who missed it can get there. Recording. So I believe let's encourage ourselves. Let's not live in fear. That's the last. Fear shouldn't be entertained. Fear shouldn't be. It's the opposite of faith. As we are building our faith, we should not give room to fear. The truth is, we'll be hearing things that will push fear in you. But we should refuse to fear. So God bless you. Good night. And I believe God willing, next week we'll be continuing this series. I'm Eben. Spirit Issues is the program. Thank you for listening.